Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio today is Zahara, a South African singer, songwriter, poet, and brand ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. She started singing in her school's choir when she was just 6 years old, and by the age of nine, she was invited to join the senior choir because of her incredibly strong voice. In 2011, Zahara released her debut album, Loliwe, which became an overnight success. It went platinum in 13 days and double platinum after just 17 days, selling over 100,000 copies in South Africa. The music video for her debut single, Loliwe, has eclipsed 1.3 million views on YouTube. In May 2012, at the annual South African Music Awards, Zahara won 8 awards, including Best Female Artist and Album of the Year, followed in 2013 by an additional 3 South African Music Awards. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
It's great that you're here with us.
Thank you.
You grew up in Pumlani informal settlement outside East London, yes, in the Eastern Cape. You were the 5th out of 6 children, and already by age 6, you displayed your love for singing. You received your wider attention when you were appointed to be lead singer of a local Sunday school choir in Pumlani. Can you take us back to some of those moments when you were growing up as a child and realizing the attention that your voice attracted from everyone around you when you started to sing?
I grew up in a musical family. My mom, my dad, I remember a church where I had a Kutukana choir, but my mom was a leader there. And obviously, I was always shy and always at the back. But every time when I was singing, they want me to lead the choir, to lead the choir. I didn't want to, but I think that I was 4 then 5. But I knew every song. I would write songs, even if it's just one line of my church song, gospel songs. When I was 6, I remember Sunday school, because I loved acting, like drama, and singing and everything at the age of 6. So they said I'm going to be the leader of the Sunday school choir. But think about it, Sunday school start from 12 down, right? So I was leading those people.
So they were 6 years,
yes,
older than you.
Yes, 6 years older than me.
And that's a big gap when you're that young.
It is. And the responsibility. I guess I was being trained for now. The responsibility, because now I had to be, I know from crèche, I come straight home, I do whatever I eat, I go play. And then I know at 3 p.m., I gather the Sunday school. And then we go practice for every Sunday. We had to have something new. So I had to be teaching them songs, plays, dances. Yeah.
That was an incredible responsibility that you had at such a young age. But I think it has led you into good stead into the future.
It has. And like you asked about the sound of my voice, I remember when I was 8. Yeah, this other lady from the village came and asked for my mom. Where is your mother? And I was like, my mom is at work. You're like, you are? I ain't got fun. I'm going to say it in close first. You ain't got fun. I'm 10, 19. It's like, my son like a boy. I'm a girl. But that never let me down. I mean, it never even bothered me that some they would say I sound like a man or whatever, but I thank God for this voice, mm-hmm, because it has held so many. Even when I was young, I remember when I was 9, I won't say it's me, it's God. I remember I was singing and then this other lady stood up, she couldn't walk. So I guess I've filled so many people with this voice that God has given me.
Well, it is incredibly unique and very, very powerful.
Thank you so much.
As you mentioned earlier, you were singing in Xhosa.
Yeah.
And it is your native language as well as singing in English.
Yeah.
And it's been written that your music is classified loosely as Afro-soul and a mixture between styles which have been popularized by Tracy Chapman and India Aria.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your music and what style you feel more close to? And, of course, which singer's music inspired you while growing up?
Firstly, because I'm from the village, and I'm from a very poor background. My mom was a domestic worker, and my dad worked in a factory, and obviously we didn't have a system that has play CDs and what. We just only had a radio, and I remember when my dad bought a smaller nyana, small CD player, and then my mom will play Mama Mary Makeba and Brenda Fassie, Rebecca Malope, and obviously she inspired me because my mom, she's a singer too, and they say I have her voice because she sounds like me, I sound like her. But the people that inspired me, I'll say from growing up, it has to be Mama Mary Makeba and Brenda Fassie, Rebecca Malope, Cece Winans. Yes, those are the people that inspired me. And then I went to school, and then obviously at school, you know, you have your little music book, and you hear other kids, they sing this song, even on a radio, they used to play, there's this song by Jonah Matraden, Talk About Revolution, no. So I loved that song. I didn't know who sings that song. And then my dad told me it's Jonah Matraden, Tracy Chapman. So I grew love from that song. And then I will Google them, I will search for them wherever I go. I remember even when I came here, I heard first time to see an album from Zakes, my road manager. And I was like, yo, I am taking that CD. That was Jonah Matraden. And then obviously India Ari, you can see even the different stuff. It's because of the way they write their songs. You can tell it's from their hearts. They're not trying to make hits. They're there to heal some soul, to pick up people, to heal broken people.
And you're so right when you're talking about that. Music has always been a huge inspiration to people, and whether it is therapeutic, that people listen to something, or they're wanting to experience joy. What influences your songwriting? And is there a story behind every song that you write?
Obviously, so it's my background. More especially on my first album, Loliwe. I wrote it when my parents couldn't raise money for me to go to tertiary, and at that time there's a song there called My Guitar, and that was the only thing that kept me sane, because all my friends were gone, they went to school, and I was left alone only with my mom at the village and no friends, but that kept me sane, and that guitar, and brought me hope. That's why I even doing the Blooming Flower project that I'm giving away guitars. It's because to me it's a symbol of hope. It kept me going. I knew that God has something for me. So I started writing, for an example, Loliwe. I wrote Loliwe because, okay, it's a metaphor for me for a journey. A train, it's so slow. Okay, never mind others, how train. Let's not go there. But Loliwe is a train. It's so slow, but it will get you where you're going. It doesn't matter what time. Even if you can wait for it, it's going to come at your station, whatever time. So it's like in our lives, yes, we may dream, we have big dreams. We must work very hard. But our timing is not the timing of God. God's timing, our dreams and our visions will be fulfilled. And there's a part that says, Phezulu enkosini kuhlala ingcwele zodwa. That means, for me, again, it's a metaphor for people, you must work hard. It's like if you want to go to heaven, you ain't going to just go to heaven. You have to pray. You have to do good by God. You have to do God's will. So it's as your dreams, whatever you want to achieve, you ain't going to just achieve it. You have to work hard. All my songs, Mthwalo wami yandisinda, it means, it's Mthwalo wami yandisinda, ndiyacela undiphathise, andifuna ukufana nabanikezela, uyandisinda, lula isandla sakho. Actually, I say there, my load is so heavy, and I can't carry it alone. Can somebody lend me a hand to help me? Because I don't want to be like those people that commit suicide, that kill themselves, when they can actually ask for help from other people. Every song and every album, their second album, it's inspired by, oh my gosh, the journey. From Loliwe album, I went throughout the continents. I don't know if there is a country where I didn't go. And I've seen poverty, I've seen the struggle, I've seen the war, where they would tell us, don't go that side, it's still there. And I felt so privileged to be in South Africa, to be in a place where Tata Mandela was born, and to actually experience everything, and to see, if you remember what happened in, where was it? It was in Kenya, at the mall, the bombing. And even here in Diepkloof, the kids being raped and murdered from 6 years, from 13 years to six, down to six. And that's what inspired the next album, the second album that I had. And it's for the people. I only wanted to say to them, you know what, you're not alone wherever you are. You can be in a shack, you can be in a $1 million whatever house, you can be driving whatever car, but we all face the same things in life. You have your own struggles, even though I'm in a shack, I might have my own struggles. Even when you have your money, your millions, you have your own struggles, but you must just know you are not alone.
I think that's a really incredibly important message, that we all have our challenges. But at the end of the day, if you just persevere, if you keep with it, you will achieve your goals in the end, no matter how long it takes. We'll take a short break.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
Today we're talking to multi-award-winning South African singer, songwriter, poet and brand ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital, Zahara. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now in our previous segment, Zahara was giving us an introduction to her humble beginnings and background and her love of music and how it nurtured, and the responsibilities that she had at such a young age have stood her in good stead for shaping her career. In our previous segment, you mentioned your debut album, Loliwe, which released in 2011.
Yeah.
And the first issue, I understand, sold out in just 72 hours.
Yeah.
And in a matter of 2 weeks later, it had reached double platinum status by surpassing the 100,000 sales mark. And now this made you the second musician after the legendary Brenda Fassie, who was also, interestingly, a Xhosa native, to reach this figure in record time. How did becoming an overnight success make you feel, especially to attain the same accomplishments as one of your idols, your legends, Brenda Fassie?
I remember hearing my song for the first time on the radio, and I couldn't believe it. I was sitting with Zakes and everyone else. I was like, okay.
Where
like,
were
should
you?
Should I jump?
Were you
I
at home?
I was at home. I was like, should I jump? Should I not? Does that mean no? And I went up to the room and I jumped up and down. And for me, in a month, people already told me that I remind them of the icon, the latest Brenda, and Mama Mary McKay, but that was an honor for me. And to think, they say, I've broken all record sales in South Africa. Okay, I'm humbled to have broken even Mama Breeze, since Brenda's first record sales. And I had everyone telling me, they didn't know even themselves that it's going to happen so fast and so quick. But they told me everything that could happen and what the advantages and disadvantages of this. And
But and even with them telling you that, I don't think it can still prepare you for
It never did, because first of all, I never wanted to do interviews. They know it was a struggle. I never wanted to show up on TV. I didn't want to, I promise you, you ask them, they had to sit me down for you to get sales or people, your people, they want to see you. They can't just hear you. For me, it wasn't about fame. But when it happened, and to get to hear your name, everybody calling your name, every street and every corner, the robots, the other one is playing Destiny, the other car is playing Loliwe, the other one is playing Shine, the other one is playing Twilo, the other one is playing Deezer. Like, I understand, I had to come down, go back to the village for 1 week, sit with my mom and pray hard, because obviously wherever I go, everybody wanted pictures, wanted autographs and gigs, and I was so admired by so many still today. But what kept me down, or the same person and humble, is that my mom told me, wherever I'm going, yeah, there's a saying that says keep your head up high, right? Yes, that's what she said. But she said, but keep it down. Because if you look down, you actually see where you're going. But if it's up there, you always see only the stars, and you always think of yourself as the star and no one else.
So that kept you grounded.
That kept me grounded. I know, even if I'm high, like the Bible says, God says, humble yourself, and I will lift you up. So every day, that was my prayer. I want to humble myself so you can lift me up. I won't lift myself because at the end of the day, I'm young, and obviously seeing all people crazy about me, it actually got me a little bit, but it never changed who I was.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, because you've had this tremendous experience, yeah. Tremendous success, hitting fame, that if that has changed you as a person?
Not really. Not my personality, not my values, not my principles. I still kept those, but I know my life has changed because I'm no longer the girl who didn't have 50 rands on her bank account. And now I get to choose where I want to go. I get to choose what I want to eat, what I want to wear with no worries. Obviously, that will change my life. And yeah, and the media and stuff, bad publicity and good publicity now, it has changed my life because I know I'm not living only for myself. It's no longer me now. It's me and the people.
Well, you've got a big impact on all of the fan base that follows you. Mm. And whilst we're talking about fans, we're talking about music, we're talking about the different elements that you've achieved, have you personally had the opportunity to work in Africa or collaborate with other musicians on the continent?
I have. My first album, I collaborated with Georgie. He's from Zimbabwe, and a song called Incwadincane. And like I said, I've traveled throughout the continent. And my second album, I collaborated with Two-Face, Nadibia, and Trezor. He's from Nigeria, Two-Face. And Trezor is from Congo. And and the latest meet Black Mambazo, Zwakhe Mbuli, the poet, people's poet.
Very dynamic.
And I am so proud to say I'm the first young artist in history to collaborate with the Ladysmith Black Mambazo in South Africa. Those are legends. They're Grammy Award winning. They're icons. They have paved the way for us. I mean, now we can go and sing. Like Mamemere Makeba, she was called. The reason why I always wanted, I'm doing the female thing, the young girls, even my projects for young girls, is because I want to be, Mama Mere Makeba was called Mama Africa. Obviously, I've done it. I've started with South Africa. I wanted, when I go to our other countries here in the continent, they don't say, is that girl from South Africa? Is that girl that sings there from South Africa? They must say, that's our girl. That's our princess. And then I wanted to conquer first South Africa and Africa. Then I go abroad, like I'm doing now with tour in London.
On your plans for the future, you've spoken about going through from South Africa, being recognized and having achieved immense success, moving out into the continent. So moving on to the future and conquering on a global level, can you share with us some of those milestones that you want to accomplish in your career?
Before I even say that, sometimes I feel I'll be greedy if I'll ask for more from God now, because I feel like I've achieved so much, even the things that I've never even dreamt I'll have now, the success that I have now as a young woman at my age. Think about it, my debut album, like you said, won 8 awards. It has never been done before. The second album, again, I won Best Selling and the Best Female again, and I won Best Female in New York and twice. And then I won it again for Best South African Act, Southern African Act Artist.
First of all, congratulations on your achievement before you go on.
Thank you so much. And Channel O, Best Female. Oh my gosh, there's so many. All in all, in 3 years, I have 25 awards, 14 summers. I am coming after my mom, Rebecca. 14 summers and so many, that achievement alone. And to get to sing for Tata Mandela, first album, and to hear that he actually asked for me to come and see him.
And what was that like?
Oh my God, you have no idea. I've never seen him in my life, not even in a stadium, wherever, in a concert. And then I get to hear that he asked for me, not just here in Joburg, Kenneth's home, Equnu, in the Eastern Cape. So I went there. I thought, okay, I'm gonna say maybe he's sitting in the lounge somewhere. He was in his bedroom. I got to sit in his bedroom, me, and a seat where he sits sometimes and look outside and whatever. Oh my gosh!
Wow, Zahara.
Even right now, still touching. And to get to hear him clap for me and say South Africa is lucky to have me.
What did you sing for him?
I sang Tekwane. At that time, the song was Tekwane. I have to sing it now. And I get Zulu yandelandela. And I get Zulu yandelandela. Utekwane, and I get Zulu yandelandela. Oyandelandela, oyandelandela. Tibanga peganga pusemfagwam. Utata mandel, uyandi sebezela. Divalinti bezam, uyandi sebezela. Utata mandel, uyandi sebezela.
Beautiful.
That's when, let me try and imitate him. This is how he did. There's still a clip there. If you go on YouTube, you'll find him clapping and saying, he clapped and he said, that's good. South Africa is lucky to have you as a daughter. You're such an angel. That was his words.
Wow, it's horrible.
And I melted. And I told myself right there, I am so blessed. My way, I mean, God has blessed me so much that I meet a great man like that, and to get to touch him, to get to hug him, and for him to say those words to me, I told myself, I'm going to write a song. That's the song I wrote, Nelson Mandela Now, the one that I did, think about it, I did the send-off of Utata. I sang when they were sending him off to Equnu from the military, from the base in Pretoria, my song, Nelson Mandela. That's why I'm saying I feel greedy sometimes if I want to achieve. But what I want to achieve, though, in the future, okay, now I'm going to London. First, I was in London. I'm the first young artist here, after Mama Maria Makeba, to perform Wembley Arena, to be headlining and get the Wembley Arena filled. The first concert, it was for Tata Mandela that was done there, Free Nelson Mandela.
In 1980, yes. Was it 1984?
I think it's 1989,
yeah. When you speak about that, that was one of the landmarks for Tracy Chapman, where she made her debut, and I understand that the sound equipment wasn't working correctly. I think the Stevie Wonder was supposed to go on.
Yeah.
And then they called up Tracy Chapman because all she needed was
a guitar.
And she went
unplugged.
On stage, unplugged,
unplugged.
And she played.
Yeah. And after, like I said, I've achieved a lot. And I'm releasing my album this year. And there are so many things. I'm an ambassador for Nedbank, and I'm an ambassador for Mandela Children's Hospital. And this is what I do. I know today we were talking about it, that there's this comedian called Skumba. I'm saying, you guys, you don't tell us, you don't show us what you do outside being Zahara, outside your music. We only hear about your music. It's not about you. It's about the person that I help. There's so many children that I've taken to school, to university, and there's so much that I'm doing. I go to hospitals, and I give them hope. I give them guitars. I try, if I have to help one needs operation or whatever, I'll give them money. But it's not about telling people. It's about that, changing that life. If that life is changed, that's it. And I'm busy with my Blooming Flower project. That's what I'm doing, helping young girls.
And I'd like to talk about that project in our next segment. I think that those are outstanding achievements, and you're well on your way to conquering the globe. And I think a little differently when you talk about the wanting things that may make you sound a little bit greedy, but I think it's actually about being able to enrich and touch other people's lives.
Yes.
And by having that platform, you've just increased the platform to reach more people.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I don't want to, okay, obviously that would be my dream, to see. Okay, let me say, they always ask me in 5 years from now, what do I want to see, where do I want to see myself? Oh my gosh, like I said, I've achieved a lot. But even if I leave Earth, I want to be remembered as a girl that helped someone back to school, helped someone, a broken marriage, people got back together, mend marriage and families, and gave hope. I want to be remembered like that, not as a girl that was busy with Lamborghinis and stuff and flashy. No, I want to be remembered like that, as a girl next door that really brought hope to other people.
Being grounded and touching other people's lives.
Yes.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
Today we're talking to Zahara, award-winning South African singer, songwriter, poet, and brand ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, Zahara, in our previous segment, you were mentioning your project, the Blooming Flower Project, which I understand launched in London in August 2012, and through it, it donates guitars and gives children lessons online. And I know that you'd mentioned that in Loliwe, my guitar was your message of hope and what sustained you in a time of need. Can you tell us a bit more about the project?
Obviously, like I say, I collect guitars and I give them to the age of 10 to 18, because I believe that's where young women that lose themselves, you know, that's the teenage stage.
And is it purely for girls?
Yes, purely for girls. It's only for women, yeah, for girls. I'm not trying to make other Zaharas out there. I'm not trying to make other guitarists out there. I'm giving them that guitar, those guitars.
But it helped you. And I think that when we have a personal experience of something that worked for us, it might work for other people. Why shouldn't it?
Yeah, but maybe some that don't want to be musicians. Maybe they want to be doctors. Maybe they want to be teachers. They want to be pilots. They want to be, But for me, I'm giving them the guitars because every time I give them, I tell them the same message, what it meant, the guitar, what it's a symbol of hope. So I say to them when I give them the guitar, you must believe in your dream and believe in what God has created you. And this guitar, every time you wake up, even if you're not going to play it, but every time you wake up and you see this guitar, you must remember there's once a girl, a young girl from the village that has made it. And God has worked through her. And the same thing can happen to her, whether she wants to be whatever, a musician, not a musician. But every time they look at guitar, it must be their symbol of hope too, that one day I will reach my dream too.
That's a powerful message.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about earlier, you were speaking about the fact that you've got the project. You also look at what you as a person contributes to society. Can you tell us a bit of the work that you do with the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital as an ambassador?
As an ambassador, obviously people would think it's only take care of those people, of those children. But I go everywhere. Every hospital, but obviously my main focus is them. I go every time I go play them my songs, those are things that will bring them hope, and tell them my story of how I grew up and where I come from. And if sometimes I have something, I'll see the need. If I can help, yes, I will help. Like I said, if I see a child needing something or an operation, then I will donate. I will donate money from my own pocket. I want to make that mark. Think about it. Today there's a Helen Joseph Hospital. There's a Mama Winnie Mandela. There's a Tata Mandela Road and Hospital. There's a Walter Sisulu University, because they've left their mark, obviously, by they led by example.
And the contributions that they made to society.
Yes, that they've made to society. And that's what I want to do. I want people, when, like I said, think about Tata Mandela. When you think of him, what do you think of? His name, Jay, it's just, you just think of forgiveness, you think of love, you think of peace, you think of sense of humanity. He's our sense of humanity. So that's what I want.
You've mentioned some great leaders there.
Yeah.
And since this program is about gender equality, which is increasingly becoming a global focus,
yeah,
building female leadership capacity is incredibly important to the future of women, not only in South Africa,
yeah,
but also on a global scale. And in all the things that you've mentioned today, you are absolutely a role model to so many South Africans, particularly girls.
Thank you so much.
How do you see female leadership, and whether that is in parliament, in schools, business, music, or any other space?
Like I always say, the first one, it would have to be, I looked up to Mama Winnie Mandela, her strength, and she was so smart, she still is smart, and the way she kept the faith. For us, because she's the only person, I mean, think about it, the whole nation will only listen to her voice, because that's the only person that will go to Tata Mandela. And the way she was so powerful, and oh my gosh, she led by example, because she was doing everything for the people. And female leadership, obviously, sometimes I think maybe we lose it a bit, because we think it's about, we're above men. It's not about that. It's about doing what you are created for. And God, if he has given you a skill, use it to the fullest. If it makes you to lead men, then so be it. But it's not about you. I think that you can overpower men or above men. But it's about, if God has led you to lead men, then it's God. I remember my mom said, when a child is born, you are born holding your hands like this, with the fist. So you must find out yourself what God has created you to be. There are a lot of women, they're not leaders out there, but they are leaders in their own way. They don't have to be on the radio. They don't have to be singing or for them to be heard. They're at home raising those kids and guiding them and showing them the way. She's being a leader, because I think when I wrote Loliwe, it's because men from the village that will come to Joburg with a train, and then they will leave their wives, they will leave their kids, they'll go for like so many years, never come back. Who was leading the family? The woman. So you don't have to be in the papers or be in parliament or to be anywhere.
You're leading
wherever you are. You lead your life. You lead the people that are around you.
And leading your family.
And leading your family.
And it sounded like your mother was a huge inspiration,
yes,
for your life.
A lot.
And does the fact that being a woman make gender equality closer to your heart and make you more determined to succeed and create a real difference?
It is, yeah, it does in a way, because back in the days, we were not allowed to do nothing as women. We're supposed to be at home. But now, I'm able to fly, I need to be a pilot. And then now, Zayf is my manager. Think about it, how many leaders that are women, and they are making sense today. It does, and it makes you wanna, yeah, Zayf, if you can do it, I can do it too. So in a way, it's really boosting us to want to make something out of our lives.
I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Me.
In terms of boosting other areas and pursuing for the future, which areas do you think that we need to build on the most for women in the future?
First of all, for young women, it's going to be education, because it's a key to anything, to everything. And we need, I think us, as I will talk about young women, we need to stop thinking that we can't do things ourselves. We need men, we need sugar daddies, we need someone to, or your mom, lend you money. Wake up and do something for yourself. You don't have to ask for nothing. Go during school holidays, go and find work at a restaurant somewhere. Do something for yourself. We must take control of your life. I think we must learn to take control of our lives, because we don't. We're always expecting someone else to do it, to do things for us. We must learn to take control of our lives.
And that's the whole purpose of equality.
Yeah.
We have got those opportunities,
yeah,
and we need to make use of them.
Make good use of them, yeah.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka, an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
Today, we're talking to Zahara, award-winning South African singer, songwriter, poet, and brand ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, one of the elements that Zahara mentioned was the importance of education as being the key to everything. And for women to start realizing that they've got opportunities and to do things for themselves, standing on their own two feet. Now going into the last segment of the show, some of our guests, like yourself, have reached tremendous achievements in their lifetimes. And when I've asked them about what their factors are to success, what they consider to be attributes, some talk about hard work, others say perseverance. In your opinion, what have been your key drivers of success?
Oh, gosh. Obviously, you have to be prayer. And believing of recognizing of what I have. Obviously, that would have to be prayer because I know through God. And my mom, I look up to her. And every woman, Mama Winnie Mandela, Tata Mandela, that's been my drive to always want to make better and to want to better my life. I look up to other people. I mean, who was the runner, the girl, Caster Semenya. I mean, Semenya, right? Caster Semenya. I mean, despite of whatever anyone said, she still pulled through. She was still number one, whatever you say about her. So I look to those people, and obviously the Bible, it keeps me going. And reading and hard, yeah.
So yours is also about looking further, developing yourself,
yes,
as well as learning what others have done,
yes,
before you and taking through on those inspirations.
And because I know there's a tomorrow, that really motivates, because they always say live today like there is no tomorrow. Obviously, you still have to think about tomorrow. But to me, for the fact that there is a tomorrow, that means I believe I can do better. If today I didn't do better, tomorrow I can do better. If there's still a tomorrow, then I will try and do better again.
I think that's a much better interpretation of living today like there's no tomorrow.
Yes.
Because the reality, there is a tomorrow. And often people aren't prepared for it.
Yeah.
And your philosophy is about preparing and going,
yes,
ahead. Now, in closing the show, can you please share a few words of inspiration that you'd like to pass on to young girls in Africa that are listening to us?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? I'll just say, I remember, they must just remember a girl, which is me, from the village. There's a song from my album, Loliwe. It's the first track. It's called Destiny. It's some people leave their dream and some they let their destiny pass them by. Me, I'll keep on going. I'll hold on. I'll hang on because I know where I'm going. Right? I wrote that song because I saw so many of my friends are young girls. It's like they know what they want. They know what they can achieve. But because they see that there are no resources right now and they give up. Let me tell you something. Don't ever give up on what you believe you were created for. Don't ever give up. Press hard and work hard. Like I always say, don't be a dreamer. Be an achiever, and for you to be an achiever, you have to work hard and never let go. Your time will come. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but the timing of God is the timing of God.
Thank you for that powerful message to close the show on.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's been such a pleasure, and we look forward to hearing more about your achievements as you now start to go on to that.
Thank you so much.
Global quest of conquering the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Today we have been talking to Zahara, award-winning South African singer, songwriter, poet, and brand ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. Tune into the show next week when we talk to South Africa's Minister of Labour, Mildred Oliphant.